An Chi Minh is an award-winning best-selling author. Her memoir, Red Azalea, was an international bestseller with rights sold in 20 countries. That book chronicled her life growing up during the Cultural Revolution in China. Her latest memoir, The Cooked Seed, picks up where Red Azalea left off.
The date was August 31, 1984. It was China's midnight and America's morning. I was about to drop out of the sky and land in Chicago. What made me scared and nervous was that I did not speak English and had no money. But I could not let myself be frightened. I was 27 years old, and life had ended for me in China.
An Chi Minh had to tell a series of lies to get herself on that airplane. She needed an American school to sponsor her, so she sent away for an application to the Art Institute of Chicago. When I spoke with An Chi Minh this past week, she picked up the story from there.
I couldn't fill out the application form. For example, I did not even know which one to circle, male or female, on the item of sex. So I took the application to a friend, and the friend filled out the form for me. When there was an English language skill, it says poor, average, good, excellent, and the friend circled excellent.
I mean, from there, you kind of fake your way through and face all these incredibly difficult circumstances. The whole time, you're supposed to be taking classes. You're going to lectures about art. You are in an art school, after all. How did the experience of that school shape your impressions of this country?
To be able to do art, it was a luxury to me. I mean, my focus was to survive here. And seeing American student, one was particularly shocking to me. And this student was literally trying to commit suicide by, like, he was hanging himself. I thought, in the labor camp, I know it's like praying to die. Why this American student, young person, who is blessed with freedom, and his pain was so unbearable that he had to end his life. And also the burning of American flag, and also the portrayal of a mayor of Chicago, Washington. They painted him with a bra. And I did not understand what mayor did to deserve this. So it's a strange environment, very surreal.
We should say things got very bad. You were continuously anxious about your immigration status, very lonely, exploited job after job. At one point, you were even raped by someone you knew. Any one of these experiences on their own would be enough to paralyze someone. But you were not, and you kept going. How is that so?
It was the determination, I guess, to pay my family, to survive. Here I'm giving an opportunity to save myself and my family.
Can you tell me a little bit about how writing came into your life? How did this happen for you?
At the beginning, I just wanted to get a job. I understood that without English, I would never get far. So my dream was to become a receptionist. And so I started to learn English from watching Sesame Street. And in the meantime, at the school, they were giving me English 101, and beginning with Virginia Woolf. That was the first person I encountered. I counted that one page has like about 200 words, and each line has 13 words. Out of 13, 10 words I had to look up in the dictionary. So I never took off my clothes at night to save time. And then as year went on, one incident that cleared my mind, I heard my calling, so to speak. It happened in Bridgeport, Chicago, and that was after my daughter, Loyanne, was born. She was a year old, and I took her to the neighborhood park to swing. It was her first swing. And I was thinking, soon she's going to be able to talk. She's going to say, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Instead of, I love you, Chairman Mao. I love you, Communist Party of China. And I feel so proud that I was able to provide her a safe place. And it was a very peaceful neighborhood and park. as I was pushing Lorraine on the swing, I heard a very tender voice behind me says, "Are you Chinese?" And I turned around. That was a 10-year-old boy. And I smiled back and I say, "Yes." And he, all of a sudden, he says, "You Chinese? F*** you." My mind just couldn't translate. I thought I heard it wrong. I said, did you say the F word? And he says, "Yes, yes. You Chinese? F*** you." And I was speechless. And I thought, I just couldn't feel safe anymore. I took Lorraine off the swing and I hurried back home. It was on the walk I realized that these children, they don't know Chinese. They don't know me. And I remember the same way I was taught as a child to hate Americans. So I decided at that moment that my writing would be my contribution to America.
You did eventually go on to marry. You were not in a happy marriage, but it did produce your daughter. She ends up becoming a real focal point of the last third of the book. Can you talk a little bit about what you were learning about yourself through the experience of mothering her?
I was dealing with an American child. The first thing she said to me that really shocked me was, she says, "Mom, I don't want my tomato to touch my potato." The self was a very strange concept to me until I came to America. And my child was born with that entitlement. And that just thrilled me. But of course, that's a sunny positive side. This negative side was that Lorraine was born in Chicago and she was the child of an immigrant, new immigrant. She had to help. And sometimes I feel that, you know, am I depriving her from the American childhood that she deserved? For example, when I need somebody to hold on the drywall.
We should say you owned an apartment building, and a lot of the work you had to do was manual labor to maintain that building.
Yes, I invested the advance from Red Azalea, my first book, because I couldn't get other jobs. So Lorraine was working with me. She had no summer, no vacation, no 4th of July. And sometimes I had to deny her food or water because, for example, the ceiling tube was open when we were caulking. And if we don't finish, it will go wasted. And then we have to come back to bother them the next day. So between bother other people and deny my child, I choose to deny my child. And I feel so terrible and so torn. When she was so tired at night and I come and tuck in, and then when she was sleeping, I returned 2 o'clock in the morning. I found her paint stain in her hair, scratches on her face. As a mother, it was I was very much in conflict. But now, I looking back, in retrospect, it's worth it. Because she really learned the reality. Because of that background, learning to live at the bottom of society, she had a very different perspective than other American children, I guess.
You write in the book that you didn't want a little girl, that you were disappointed when you found out the gender of your child. And today you sound just like any other very proud mother. Are you close today with Lorraine?
Very close. And she was the person who told me that she would not want any sugarcoating on this memoir. And I just thought that we have gone so far. My grandmother had a bound feet. My mother, when I asked her about love, she gave me 3 words, "Shame on you," because in my culture, you're not supposed to talk about it. Here, I could talk to my daughter can talk to me. I do see myself transforming. I broke down crying when I learned she was a girl. I didn't realize I was so corrupted, you know, by my culture and society. And now she proved me wrong. I'm just thrilled.
You talk about how you were motivated to write to try to get people to understand Chinese culture. But what do you want American readers to recognize, perhaps about our own culture? through your story.
I'll be comforted when people walk away that will not take America for granted. And you might be in every difficult situation, imagine, but if you take a different look at America from a look of an immigrant, from my eyes, you might see your life differently.
The book is called The Cooked Seed. It is a memoir, and it is written by An Chi-min. She joined us from studios in Berkeley, California. An Chi-min, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Ms. Barty, I thank you so much. I'm honored.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.